Welcome to the Journey Beyond Divorce podcast, where we invite you into a journey of healing and personal transformation that will radically change your divorce experience, heal your heart while refining your character, and set you up to be effective and feel empowered as you navigate the practical and emotional challenges of divorce. I'm your host, Karen McMahon, founder of Journey Beyond Divorce. My divorce brought me to my knees, and it also transformed me and set me on this path to help you. Our team of JBD coaches support men and women to engage in divorce with more calm, clarity, and confidence. Through our one-on-one coaching, group programs, online courses, and free resources.
Yeah, I think because I actually, like today, can acknowledge, as much as I don't like this person, that their relationship was a catalyst for me to acknowledge that I wasn't in a healthy relationship. Right? So if she wasn't the person she was and is as persistent as she is, then I might not have acknowledged it and moved on and stayed, right? And if, like I predicted, they're back together, right? So if I hadn't held my ground or gone back to maybe he'll change and the whole, like, truly, as the day goes on, you don't want to dissolve. You're dissolving a marriage can feel so overwhelming, and I just didn't want to be in the divorce club. It just wasn't my path and my original, but I'm happy I'm here. Like, and she is somebody who changed my life I'm a much healthier person, right? And I want my kids to see that.
Welcome to Voices of Celebration. This series is designed to inspire and encourage you as we share real-life experiences of former Journey Beyond Divorce clients who invested in their personal growth through divorce and emerged a better version of themselves with a more rewarding post-divorce life. Welcome back to another episode of Voices of Celebration. With me today is one of our former clients, Trish. How are you doing, Trish?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for your willingness to come and tell your story. And I'm just going to let you jump right in and share how you ended up on the path through divorce.
Sure. First of all, it was never supposed to be my path and my head, but this is where I am now. And I was not ever willing to even tell my story until Carrie actually reached out to me, the coach through Journey Beyond Divorce, and asked if I was ready to kind of talk about it and spread where I've come down the journey of this. So I was married for 17 years. I've been divorced for 2.5 officially now. Still have a lot of journey ahead in terms of just coordinating things with my ex, with our kids, and financial stuff still not totally settled. And just acknowledging our type of personality and adding in other people into our family unit. As we both grow on, has been a challenge, but I'm kind of getting there with that too. Mm.
So the thing that led to your divorce was what?
Infidelity. So I was not aware of an affair that was going on, which I was kind of big time blinders. I was super shocked by the discovery, by the experience of what had been going on for months before I actually found out about it. And, you know, being a 40-something year old and finding something out on Facebook that was completely hidden from me and my family was a shock to the system for sure. And then
you found out via social media?
Yeah. Yeah. It was awful. Terrible, actually. But, you know, that's part of the journey, I guess. So, and then my ex and I tried, I had actually joined, started to see a therapist 1 week before I discovered that, you know, I knew things were just not going great between us. In general, we had spent a lot of time away from the house and away from just us, the kids and I, and it just, you know, I could tell that something was askew. And then literally a week later, was when I happened to click on the person's name, and this whole bunch of pictures of them together was overwhelmingly shocking.
Oh, I can't even imagine.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially from somebody who I never thought he would ever lie to me about anything, like his favorite dinner, to something this big. So it was a shock to my system and shock to us. So we tried couples therapy together. The journey was probably together with that. That happened in May, and we stuck through that for like 6 months. But
did he stop the affair during those 6 months?
Yes and no. I think it would kind of stop and then start back up. So, which was super helpful for me though, having a therapist at that time, because she was able to help me, come up with some words, because I kept having this recurrent like fight. And it was a lot of blaming of situational stuff, of why, not even really acknowledging that there was another person in his life and her family, really. But I just kept saying, like, we just keep having this same fight and we're not getting anywhere, and we're like escalating and starting to talk about, you start off talking about our feelings, we're so sorry, and then it would like roll into this like stupid name blaming game. So anyway, her name was Karen too. She was very wonderful for me at that point, and she was helpful for me to come up with, like, to stop it. You know, she gave me some tools to, this was one that I still stick to today. I don't answer like any texts or emails after we picked the time, 9 o'clock. So it just, unless it's like my kids or, you know, something has to be, I needed like you're tired, you're emotional, like there's no reason to engage, was a word I also learned in this journey, not to engage, which I'm not really a fighter. So I just found myself in this conflict all the time in this time.
So every time he invited you to a conflict, you would kind of jump in and find yourself in it. And it sounds like your therapist started and teaching you about boundaries and setting some rules around when you engage and how you engage.
Yes. And how to just stop it. I practiced a phrase with her to say, you cheated on me and you continue to do so. That's it. And that would stop the wheel, right? The spinning wheel of, so it worked, but I had to practice it. You know, I'd be like, you start to like justify it, and you start to be like, but this happened and nobody's even listening at that point. So that phrase helped me get through that piece of it. And, you know, he moved out, then moved back in the guest room, and then got to a point where I filed for divorce. That happened in May. I finally filed in October, because he went on a trip with her, the affair partner, and just, it was a work trip, but she went too. So I just said, this is it. I'm not living this life anymore. So, but since that day, lots have happened. Like, then COVID happened. We were supposed to have our actual divorce date in March 2020, and everything shut down. So we had the strangest divorce proceeding. I had a lawyer. He didn't have a lawyer at that time. He actually didn't even come to two of the meetings till we finally agreed on some things. I just don't think he either acknowledged it or thought I was going to go through with it. I'm not even sure, but I'm glad I did that, because we're at that point now where every letter of that divorce agreement matters right now. currently. But at that time, you couldn't have told me enough to like, you're going to need this. Or I was really like, we're going to work it out. It's going to be amicable. We're always going to be able to have this, like, I don't know. We're just going to be able to relax in it. Nothing is flexible. Nothing is flexible at all.
I'm just curious, just on that piece. Some of the experts I've spoken to talk about how, as the spouse of the high conflict personality, we live in delusion. Yeah. Like we believe what we wish was, as opposed to what the reality is that we're experiencing. Does that resonate with what you're talking about?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you just start to, especially when you're with somebody for so long, you just either, I don't know, there's that also that saying, the drink the Kool-Aid, right? That you come first and your kids matter and all of this. And I'm not saying he doesn't care about his kids, but they definitely are. He was like, if he got a good invitation to something more fun, he would go. Wouldn't be like, I don't know. You know, we live near Boston, so I'll say like a Red Sox game. If you got tickets to a Red Sox game, doesn't matter that there was something else going on. He would just stop and go.
And would you say that was kind of standard throughout your marriage? So I'm hearing that before the infidelity, there was a looseness in the partnership and the responsibilities and the family oriented approach. Is that a fair?
Yeah. So I also think that, you know, it took some acknowledging this, that even though it was helpful, it's been helpful that I just have always done, I did all the stuff for the kids, right? I handled their schedule. I still worked full time, but I did all of that stuff. And whenever he was available to help out, I would be like, this is great. It's so wonderful. You can help drive to a basketball practice or whatever. Those things started lessening and lessening, and I was just figuring it out. My delusion piece was that we would get divorced, and on those Tuesday, Thursday, whatever days, that, you know, that would just, you would just take over those 2 days. But, you know,
it just, and he would show up differently than he had throughout the whole marriage.
So I don't know. And my lawyer has said to me now that we've been out of this like together in 3 years. Like, she just, as an outside person who didn't know me before, she says, I don't know how you did this before. And I really explain it. Like, I was never the brunt of the high conflicts before. I sort of like just was able to keep things calm. And I just wasn't the person receiving any of these, like, I don't know, conflicts.
Do you receive conflict now?
Oh, yeah. Every other day, probably in some sort of email about something, which is where Harry has helped me with that piece.
Yeah. So am I hearing you say that because you kind of went with the program that was, which was dad was free to live his life, that there wasn't a lot of kickback on you. But once you started saying, whatever those guidelines and boundaries were, then you started receiving more of the kind of emotional dump from him?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Absolutely.
So your conflict actually, so your situation became more conflict oriented as you got healthier and started setting boundaries. And
absolutely.
Yeah. And you said earlier offline something about being conflict avoidant. So can you just talk to our listeners a little bit about that journey from being afraid to now standing your ground and navigating the conflict?
Definitely. I think some of it is like, even when I was younger, I would say like, I'd avoid topics like politics or something. And it'd be like, because maybe I don't know enough about it. And I'd get sort of flustered talking about something unless I was super passionate about it. Like something that I do for work that I know a lot about, I can have a discussion with. But when people start pushing back towards me, I've always just sort of had a like on the fence kind of way of getting out of that situation. Right. I don't enjoy it. And when people are arguing, even friendly around me. It's not, I've never been comfortable with that piece of it. So learning how to not get involved, like it got to the point where I had to like speak up for myself in this situation. And I would just be like, and then it would escalate to either me crying or like just feeling like screaming, like those crazy elevated feelings about something, to just not engaging and saying my point. You know, when it comes to like the emails, I use that. I listen to your podcast. Somebody, I forget the gentleman's name, the BIP theory has been super helpful.
Bill Eddy. Yep. Brief, informative, firm, and friendly. We like that one.
Definitely. Definitely. And I use it all the time. Like, because sometimes I'd be too friendly and nice, or what works for you? Do you want to do this? Do you want to do that? And that it worked in our marriage in my head because I was flexible, but it really doesn't work. I had to be more firm about it. Yeah. And I get tons of pushback from him now because I'm firm about it, but it's better. The schedule is better for my kids. It's better for me. I know what's happening. It's not so inconsistent. So it's definitely just healthier. Right. But yeah. I didn't acknowledge that ever before this.
So. Yeah. And I think like so many, Trish, we don't know what we don't know. Right. And so it's like we behave a certain way and the family we came from and, you know, the way we connect with our partner. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, okay, that's why this is so hard, or that's why it feels so uncomfortable and what have you. And so I'm hearing right off the bat that you're navigating what is conflict much better, that you're picking and choosing what to respond to, what invitation to the fight that you choose to say yes to, and that you've got some really firm boundaries, that's amazing. When this first happened, and I can't imagine how blindsided you felt finding out through social media, what were some of your like immediate fears when the reality sunk in?
I think some of the most immediate, right, is how am I going to do life without him, really? And then as it rolls into the children, like how I'm from the early stages, or how are we going to talk to the kids about this? And I listen to a lot of podcasts about how to talk to your kids about this, how to help them navigate it. And I think, you know, now that we've been out of it, it would be, I think they're, at least my boys are teenagers, so they could at least verbalize what that was like, it being so drawn out for them, whether that's a better way to do it or to just do it. I don't really know. I think, you know, kids have to process things at different stages too. But
When you say drawn out, what do you mean?
So, I mean, because we didn't have any like that time, especially when their dad was still living here and we were just functioning, but not really talking or skirting around, which we were kind of doing before this, about a few months before it came to a head. But that kind of learning to skirt around him, and he was, my ex was very, I actually remember teaching my boys how to navigate his mood so that he wouldn't like be crabby with them. It was nothing extreme, but I literally call him crabby, and just how to avoid that or certain times of the day. And if you want, which is terrible, but if you want something or you want to get that, answer yes, like these are the times that are better, or you know, which it's a kind of a life skill when somebody's super stressed that you don't ask them to for $15 to go to the movies or something like that, but but they have learned how to navigate that personality. It's not how I hoped it would be for them now, because they have a very estranged relationship with their dad, and they don't spend, there's no weekly dinners. with them. And that's been a journey with therapists and just kind of learning with that conflict, that type of personality too, when with a parent, it's been a struggle for them.
Are they not seeing their dad because they don't want to, or because he doesn't want to, or?
Well, he does want, you know, their dad wants to see them when it works out for him, which most of the time is once a week. Well, he'll kind of send them a text, but it's over time. The, if you don't do this, then I take this away, had built up to the point where they were just feeling like, I don't want to feel guilted every time I do something. And that was there. And then once his affair partner became a real person and introduced into their lives, it has gone worse for them. And they set their own boundary and said, we don't want to do things with her there. And their dad doesn't, he says he will when he talks, has these big talks with him, which she's had like two, but he hasn't been able to follow through with that promise for.
Yeah. So, wow. So the kids set some boundaries, which is amazing. How are they doing?
Oh, they're amazing. They are doing so good. I mean, I think they're just doing their thing, right? And they don't get super frustrated with things. Every now and then, they're even to the point where they don't involve me unless they're really anxious about something with their dad. But that's not that far in between now. So, you know, we have my oldest is getting ready to go off to college. So there's some bigger talks and involving or not involving his dad has been a little tricky for him because there's definitely some things he hasn't resolved with him that end up involving me because at the end of the day, somebody's going to help pay for this. Right. Hopefully all of us, but, but they are doing good. They've had the journey with, therapy. They both have decided to graduate maybe before I thought they were ready to, but at least they know that kind of tool is there for them as they continue to get older and deal with all sorts of challenges. Right. This is just one part of their life being a teenager.
You know, I think that you're illustrating this beautiful point, which is which I so often say, which is even if you have just one healthy parent, that the children can really emerge whole and healthy. And when you're in a challenging situation and the healthy parent is handling it well, they can actually emerge with a lot more emotional intelligence than somebody at their age, because they've gone through so much. And it sounds like your boys are doing a really good job.
I try to remind them that when they get kind of annoyed when their friends get upset about something really dumb. And I'm like, well, everybody comes with their own story, right? Or when they feel like they don't have anybody, they both have gone through this. Well, I have my friends, I don't need a therapist, or I don't need an adult to talk to. And they've evolved to finding an adult or somebody who is been through this in some way or is an adult. So that's been instead of their friends, because your friends are your friends, right? But they're also 15, right? So what if they experience not the same thing?
That's right. And so, their wisdom might not be quite what we want our children to follow.
Oh, of course not, right? Oh my goodness. So, and then, so that journey though, with the therapist and with their dad was, when my middle child was going through that, Carrie, I was involved with Carrie through coaching with you, through Journey Beyond Divorce. And, so I had reached out to her. I was already done, taking a big break from my own therapist. And I actually handed her over to my ex, and I don't even know if he's still seeing her, but I had tried to get him through all these different therapists and make appointments for him, and he wouldn't go. So she's like the one person he would stay with. So I hope he's still going to her, but anyway, it's just another
thing. Made you reach out for coaching?
You can have him.
Yeah.
So I had been listening to your podcast. I find them very helpful. And I had been listening to all the different topics that applied to what I was going through. And you can kind of relate to most things, even if they're totally different. But I was running into a time post-divorce. I'm trying to think how long we were probably divorced, maybe 6 months officially. And he decided to officially get together with his affair partner and wanted to introduce our kids to her. So even though they had been together and he had known her kids for, I don't know, probably a year, but at this point, my kids didn't know her. And I was super struggling with that. The whole, like, I just have a lot of feelings about this person in general. And now she was going to meet my kids and she is a part of their lives today. Much, you know, what am I going to do about that piece? But I was just having a really, really hard time with how do I navigate this? And so I reached out and Carrie answered my, you know, that call. And we worked together and she was just so helpful for me. They're to give me like a to-do list. It's different than therapy. I find coaching was just what I needed at that point in my personal journey. I needed somebody to just, you know, kick me into gear and focus on what I needed to focus on. Even when I came into that, I came in with big goals. I was thinking about this before we had this podcast. And she just was able to be like, let's back it up. How do we get through the day without feeling triggered, right? These things, you sound like they're making you, you know, they're impacting your day. His existence, right. He's kind of, these emails, these things, and just learning that I can only control my own actions. I can't control them. And she helped me problem solve stuff with the kids and just kind of come to a place where I could be at peace when they weren't with me, you know, and some of the influences I don't have control over, and acknowledging that they're influenced at school, they're influenced at their sporting events, you know.
So, right.
It was just, it felt so personal to me. I needed to like get through that. Not that I have a lot of joy for this person, but I needed to face that piece of it for me.
Yeah, sure. And
I had focused more on just the kids and how to get through my daily life and all of that stuff. So I, go ahead.
As somebody who, sounds like you did a lot of growing in therapy. You know, people reach out and they ask this question all the time. What would be your answer to what was different between working with your therapist and working with your divorce coach?
I think it's similar to what you have heard before. The therapist kind of, she really acknowledged my feelings and we processed that in ways that kind of help with getting through all of that kind of emotional piece of when our marriage was really breaking up, when we were breaking up, like physically breaking up, you know, and leaving, moving out and all of this stuff.
Right.
But she, and she fully acknowledged this. She really didn't help me when it came to some of the, where do I go with the legal stuff or not, or, I don't know. It was a little compassionate, but not concrete, if that helps, if that makes sense. And where Carrie, for me, she was is concrete. She
was strategic. That's the word that's coming to mind for me.
And like a coach, I didn't even know there was such thing as a divorce coach. I knew there were life coaches, but she was able, and not that she is a lawyer or any of these things, but she just came at it with a perspective of you can do this. Let's break it up into chunks and kind of like it was a to-do list, held me accountable, but more made me hold myself accountable for it. So nice. They were my own things. They weren't things that Carrie made up for me out of the blue. You know, she'd say, it sounds like this is something you really need to work on. So for me, talking about this to people who weren't in my inner circle, I was like, I can't do this. I can't tell my neighbor I can't tell her. So it was just an example of like somebody.
Yeah. And,
like I just had this. So she did some like skits, like role plays with me and was like, ready? I'm going to be that neighbor who comes up to you.
Yeah.
The market. Or a grocery store and just, you know, let's play it out. And it was hard. And it is hard. And Jen, I would tell her that there's still some times when I don't feel up for it. So I'll just, you know, I have a line for that. And I have a middle of the road line. And I have a, here's all the dirt in 10 words. Bye. You know, like, so, I don't know. She was just super helpful with that piece. Cause I also just didn't want to face that part of the social piece for me with
the telling, right? It's like, who do I tell? When do I tell them? How much do I tell them? What do I do with their reactions or their obliviousness to like my privacy or 100 other things? Sure.
Yeah. It's everybody reacts so differently. And where you are with your own space, that's what I mean. Like there's definitely times when I truly had a neighbor was like, I cannot believe you didn't tell me this. It's been like 2 years and I didn't know. And I was like, well, you know, happens, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, if you need more information, like ask somebody else. Like, I can't talk about it anymore. And, you know, it's all coming. Usually people ask you questions from a place of like trying to be kind and helpful, but it can come across as very judgy. And
it can be judgy. It can feel intrusive. So much of the work, especially when I used to run groups, you know, people would bring it up and it's like, okay, what are your choices? And if you haven't had a lot of experience setting boundaries, it's kind of like, well, what am I going to do? I have to answer them. They asked. I'd be rude if I didn't, like no other options. And so it sounds like you've come a really long way with your ability to have plan A, B, and C, be able to choose which one works for you.
Oh, right. And that's 100% it. You feel rude, right? Even though I wouldn't ask somebody that person question. There are people who do, right? And but it's not rude. It's not rude to just stop and say, you know.
I'd rather not talk about it. Thanks for asking. Thanks for your concern. There's 100 things you can say that once you realize it, it's like, oh yeah, I can grab this statement. I can grab that statement. But when you're not skilled at it, it's kind of like, I've got nothing except to tell the truth and I don't want to do that and I'm stuck.
Right.
Yeah.
We'll say between... She had two other things that one of my girlfriends had told me this too. And when she first told me this, so I wasn't quite in the high conflict part of like the emails and the text part of my journey, but, I can't say this enough that the statement of just because it's written doesn't mean it's true or fact is like so powerful. It's so powerful. But if you read something that it says, Karen, bah, 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 you read it like, oh my gosh, that's like directed towards me, right? And right. I work in healthcare. If it's written, then it happens. That's how we learn it, right? That's how you get insurance to pay for things. So it's the opposite way of looking at it. Just because somebody says something, it doesn't mean it actually A, happened or it's true. And that's okay. It is so helpful. And where I am like today, it's the strategy I use the most. And it doesn't mean it doesn't hurt when somebody says something, especially who's supposed to care about you. That is like just not nice and firm or bully like, however you want to describe it. But if you can just take a step back and be like, it doesn't just because it's there, it doesn't mean it's facts or true.
Yeah.
But thanks to be the recipient of it, but it helps you get through it.
You've been listening to our podcast, Getting Educated, Regulating Your Emotional Reactions, and it's been really helpful. Yet you know you could do better, be better. and you're wanting and needing more support. That's where our coaching service is a game changer. We're here for you when you need us the most, ensuring you have all the tools and resources at your fingertips, guiding and supporting you to be more effective. Our free rapid relief call helps you gain a broader perspective, commit to your best next steps, and determine what coaching support is right for you. Visit rapidreliefcall.com to book your call today.
What would you say is your most surprising experience being on the other side of your divorce?
I think that, you know, you hear a lot about fears of not seeing your kids or missing them terribly when they're off with their dad or just being like afraid. But you get, I don't know, for me, I get to a point where as long as they're safe with their dad, which they currently, I think, are, I'm able to kind of just acknowledge that it's okay. You know, I want them to have an experience. I want them to have a relationship with their dad. And I hope that for my boys that they get there or back there. But I had that fear of losing them. I think that's, I hear it a lot, but when you're living it, it's like, oh my gosh, yeah. And we don't have control. Like, he doesn't always take them to what I would take them to. And yep. I have to acknowledge, okay, but they're safe and they're probably not miserable, you know, watching TV or doing whatever they're doing. So it's just like also letting go of some of that control. That's where I had control. And so letting go of that control was hard. Yeah. It's still hard for me, but nothing to the point when it first happened.
How is it for you to have free alone time when the boys aren't around?
Well, they're always around, but that's okay.
Okay. So you're saying they go with their dad, but it's more of like a dinner visit or something like that, as opposed to a whole weekend type thing?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. They haven't slept there or it's been like a year and a half since either of them have spent a night away, you know, unless we're at their friend's house with him. So, but my daughter goes every other weekend and she goes out to dinner once a week with him. And that is working out, not flawlessly, but it's working out for her. And she's kind of probably the most settled with the whole arrangement than anybody. I mean, she was 5 and a half when we first.
Wow.
This. So she's just, I don't know. And she's just a kind soul. Like she, I don't know. She just loves everybody and she loves attention. Of course, she's getting a little preteen now, but what little kid doesn't? So
yeah,
has been, but she would say that she's glad that we're not together. She said that to people. Like, so I'm sure that even though when kids are little and you think they either don't feel it or they don't hear the fighting or whatever, they do. Right. Yeah.
And even if you fight quietly, I often have this conversation, there is a tension that comes with conflict, anger, frustration, and children are such open receptors to whatever energy we're putting out. So even if they can't consciously articulate it, they're being exposed to it.
Yeah. And I don't know if this is good or bad, but all three of them, for me, they're like hyper tuned to me. Like, so if I am like off, like you were just saying, like the quiet fighting, which is usually for me, it's like an email kind of fight or conflict. It's not a verbal like thing that they would hear. They know. They are like, oh my goodness, like your spidey sense. Like, what's going on? They just are hyper into to that. And not that they need to know why. They just acknowledge like that. And I feel like they wouldn't, maybe not, have experience, if they hadn't gone through that experience, they might not be as hyper-aware of it. I kind of don't want that. I don't want them to feel like they have to take care of me. Is that what I mean? But they are very in tune to.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, part of emotional intelligence is being able to read other people as opposed to being oblivious to other people. Right. And so if you're saying that your kids aren't caretaking, but they're articulating that they're reading tension, that's a good, healthy skill.
Yeah, which is good.
Yeah.
And they, like I said, they've come a long way too with navigating stuff with their dad. I feel like that's going to evolve too, right? You and I talked about that as your children become young adults, they are really just seeing and noticing how people treat each other and how from verbal to texting to the social media, the whole thing. And starting as they get older, acknowledge how they want to contribute or not. Right.
Exactly. Exactly. And the more conscious they can do about that thing that you do doesn't work for me. I'm setting this boundary. I'm doing things my way. Like whatever that is all, that's all growth oriented. You know, you said earlier that in the early stages, there was a fear, like, how do I do this? And how do I do this by myself? So here you are post-divorce and what you're describing as parallel parenting. So not the collaborative, cooperative, amicable thing that we read about, but something quite different. So I have two questions. First, how are you compared to your fear?
Oh, I'm so much better. That fear is out the door. Like I still get upset and, you know, I still will like do the whole, maybe it would be better if I dealt with this situation differently, or I didn't stand up for myself enough there, or I was, you know, whatever it is, or I feel anger towards somebody who is may or may not be behind this manipulative thing, but I don't know. It's kind of like when you watch a movie and you're like, how could somebody in the world be that manipulative or mean or whatever? And like to be the recipient of it, it's just when you acknowledge that, it's really mind-boggling and it takes a little bit to acknowledge it, right? Face it.
Yeah.
And then be able to talk about it, right? I mean, it took me like months to talk to my parents about it. I talk to them every day. But we usually talk about the weather and this and that and the kids. And like, it just took me a long time. So being on the other side and being able to acknowledge it. I also think for me, I listened to all that co-parenting. I had high hopes. Maybe someday, I mean, my ex still uses that word a lot in an email or whatever, but there's no collaboration. It's very much, this is how I want to do things. I work with kids. My background is like child development. I try to see it from where they're at, and he never has. And I honestly, that was one of my other issues too, is that I would try to change that, right? I can teach him how to see kids this way. And now that I don't have the control over changing his, in my head, perspective on it, like why it's important for the kids, I just have acknowledged that it is more parallel parenting, right? We do our, there's no hidden agenda. This is just what we're doing. And I don't know.
So, and for those of our listeners, like, so when you say parallel parenting, what I'm hearing is the normal collaboration, cooperation, being on the same page, having the same rules in both households, you know, talking through when the kids are trying to manipulate mom or dad. Like, none of that happens. We talk when it's absolutely essential. We have a schedule. We don't deviate from the schedule because flexibility is dangerous. Firmness is safe. Am I?
Exactly. But when I started this journey, I absolutely believed 100%, you could not convince me otherwise, that this would be how I'm parenting with him. I built that belief up there, another belief that.
That it would be collaborative and cooperative. Yeah.
So yeah. Also acknowledging that too, right? There have been times where those words have been written to me, like, have some compassion. I'm like, oh, please. I have to like, it doesn't hurt anymore when somebody says that to me, who's in so much conflict with me. It would hurt. Mm-hmm. But not from him. So that it's almost like a wall you build up and like, I don't know. So yeah, I've come very far with it. I'm not as good face-to-face with him, like having those kind of things, but I'm with the like written communication. I keep it firm.
And it's helpful to have that like emotional Star Trek force field between you and a high conflict ex.
Yeah. It's hard though. It's hard when you had shared all life and
yes,
to like have to acknowledge that that's how your relationship is now. But if I give any inch one way, it's 100% comes back. And sometimes like all the way around, like I did something wrong. Like now I honestly, even last week I got an email saying I'm gaslighting him. And I was like, wow, that's a new word for you.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was not anything. It was just like, honestly, my email was something to the point where, why can't we work? We've worked together for 17 years. This is one thing. Can you, we just work together on it? And it was this big, long response of like 360. And like,
you.
Back to firm and like, not. It wasn't even that far off the ledge of not being firm. But anyway, I just also wanted to say one other strategy that I still do today that Carrie taught me when it comes to those. And I do this, I haven't had this outside of with my ex, but I've come close to somebody at my work because I, like I said, I just don't tend to have a lot of conflict. Or I'm avoiding it, right? Probably more that. But anyway, she taught me that to take 4 breaths when I get an email or a notification even. And when you had a podcast from somebody else too, which kind of talked about like silencing your notification. That was a challenge for me too. I had to stop feeling like I got to respond immediately. Comes through. So now sometimes I don't even read it right away, but even if I do read it, before I read it, I take those 4 like conscious breaths to know that I'll say one of those things, like just because it's written doesn't mean it's true. And then it calms me down before I enter it. And it could be like an easy email about what time am I picking up, you know?
Yep. So.
Or it could be this like big, huge thing that now I'm ready for. So that is like a life strategy that I've learned, and I've passed it along to my boys at least too. I mean, they don't do emails as much as other things, but I think for them, like texts, for example, or all that social media comes right at you. So I'm trying, they're not quite there yet, to know like, it's okay to not impulsively respond or and if you do acknowledge that it feels crappy before you quickly respond and say something, right?
Because that's a great tool to use, just creating that space, giving yourself a chance to center yourself before you look at what could be nothing or could be, you know, just the flavor of the day assault.
Right. I just wanted to acknowledge.
Yeah,
that.
No, I think that makes so much sense. And then so you've talked a lot about your own kind of self-confidence through this, your boundaries, your learning how to deal with conflict, you building a toolbox of tools to grab for, noticing where you were maybe a little delusional about who your ex was and how he might show up differently, which they generally don't tend to. Is there anything else that was a big growth area or another topic through your divorce that you want to share before I want to give you an opportunity to share some encouragement and hope at the end. But before we get to that.
Yeah. I think one of the other growth is similar to where we're talking about with people outside my circle and talking about this or not talking about it, just coming up with those words. I also have found just for my own well-being too, like I have a wonderful network of friends and my family. They've been amazing for me. But I needed to kind of acknowledge what I'm so sorry. Like people always say this to me all the time. If I give them more than the short and skinny thing, I'm so sorry this is happening to you. I'm so sorry they have to deal with this. And I just have tried really hard to just stop the, thank you. I know it sucks. Right. But, and then I change the subject. Like I don't need to be stuck in that feeling of don't walk around the earth being sorry for me because I got this right. And not that I don't need help. Of course I need like anybody will help me in certain aspects. And I think we all learn that too. Like when you need help from a legal person or a friend who's gone through this that knows the legal person part of it. When you need that friend to call and complain to and just let them listen and say, yeah, that sucks. What a jerk. Like just knowing
that's right.
Or who fits in where to help me instead of like getting too riled up either way. So,
yeah. Yeah. Who's on my support team and which one of them do I need today, given what's going on? And person A may not be the right person for what you're facing today and taking the time and being conscious. I had that with my siblings. I had one sister who was just always more angry at my then husband than I was. And I'd find myself defending him because she would be on the attack. And I thought, well, that just is not serving me. So when that situation arises, maybe I should be calling the other sister who was more like, where are you at and what do you need and how can I support you, as opposed to he's such a jerk. And right. And so knowing who to go to when is actually a really good, good skill to have.
Right. Definitely. Yeah. And I think that, there's some struggles that I'm still dealing with some of those legal pieces of it, but helping my kids navigate it is the next role. But I honestly tell them all the time that to look at, you're learning from the adults around you, their actions, right? And the kids around actions and deciding what you want to do with that. You want to act like that? Do you want other people to feel the way you're feeling? And they've come a long way with that too. I mean, they're still young, right? But
I'm hopeful
that they are continue to be good humans, as I call them. Let's be good humans and you don't have to be sugar sweet to everybody, but you have to acknowledge when people aren't being nice to you, honestly, manipulative to you or whatever it is. So everybody has a journey, but we're getting there. And I just want to say one other thing that about Carrie real quick. And then with the coaching for me, she had a strategy that I was not a fan of when we first started. So like I said, I had sort of been triggered by the affair partner becoming involved in my kid's life. And she had me write a letter to her and then I had to read it to Carrie. So, and then I can do with it whatever I wanted. I could burn it, which I like to burn things, like, just like campfire burn things. Or I could save it. I could mail it to her. I could just do whatever I wanted. And I was like, no, I don't want to do that. And so I was a little resistant, but I did it. And it was so helpful for me. It was
Tell me why. Tell me what was helpful about it. I think that's a great exercise.
Yeah, I think because I actually like today can acknowledge, as much as I don't like this person, that their relationship was a catalyst for me to acknowledge that I wasn't in a healthy relationship. Right. So if she wasn't the person she was and is as persistent as she is, then I might not I might have acknowledged it and moved on and stayed. Right. And it, like I predicted, they're back together. Right. So if I hadn't held my ground or gone back to maybe he'll change and the whole, like, truly, as the day goes on, you don't want to dissolve. You're dissolving a marriage can feel so overwhelming. And I just didn't want to be in the divorce club. It just wasn't my path to my originally, but I'm happy I'm here. Like, and she is somebody who changed my life for me personally, and I'm a much healthier person. Right. And I want my kids to see that. I want them to know that I wouldn't put up with that crap either at the end of the day.
Right.
That's simplified to what really happened.
Yeah. But I think that to your point, it's like this person entered who was an absolute thorn in your side and caused pain and hurt and upheaval. And yet the marriage was broken before she entered it. And I think that that's a piece I just love that you ended with that, because so often, not always, but very, very often, when there's infidelity, it is not coming out of a healthy marriage. And so it's kind of like, did the betrayal break the marriage, or did the broken marriage lead one party? Incorrectly, but lead one party to stray and betray. And for you to be able to say the marriage was broken, I actually grew because of this woman. I'm in a better place as a result of the role that she played, and I'm stronger as a result of things. That's enormous trash.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
I don't know that I would have stepped out of it without that situation. I think I could have passively lived on in that unhealthy way, not acknowledging all of the issues. So
You know, I come from a high conflict marriage. So infidelity was not part of my story. And for the now 13 years that I'm doing this, there is so much infidelity. There is so much betrayal that people, often sexual, a lot of times financial, but the sexual infidelity is such a big piece. And as we're wrapping up, just any words of wisdom or guidance that you have for our listeners in general or specific to infidelity, the floor is yours, Trish.
I found that there's different Facebook groups out there too. And I kind of delved into different ones I feel like when you're going through something really emotional, sometimes those groups where you don't have to be a member of it, like an active participant, right? You can kind of read different people's stories and it can make it feel a little bit more real for you. And that I found that super helpful. I also found some to not be a good fit for me too. It just wasn't. I don't know. Sometimes I didn't want to go down a very angry path either. So I had to kind of work through that. I found your podcast to be super helpful. I think that at the end of the day, coming up with those words and asking for help if you need them to set up those boundaries is, and even if you don't know what the word boundaries are, but for yourself, like how you can get out of those conflicts, situations, feeling heard. We all want to feel heard, right? And any, like from children to adults, we want to feel heard in any. Yep. So, and just coming up with those ways that you feel comfortable and that you can feel heard. Like for me, it was that one sentence when we were coming back to the, well, you did this and then I had to do this. Like some of it was a bit ridiculous, but it still hurts when it's said to you. I needed that, those phrases for me. So coming up with those phrases, even if they're just in your head, that you can keep saying for yourself to keep yourself calm and compassionate and right.
They're almost like little mantras that can be life rafts out in a stormy sea, an emotionally stormy sea.
Right. And it's not easy. There's definitely days where I still feel defeated and you know, but I'm definitely on the other side and glad that I'm here and not tiptoeing around what I was living in either. Right. So, and it's better for my kids. The boundaries I set have been better for my children. And truly, they feel, you can just tell that they're calmer. They know what's happening, right? I'm just talking about like schedules, like nothing crazy, but when somebody's supposed to come and if they don't come, but they know their schedule, so they can just feel grounded too, right?
Yeah.
Hopefully they'll start to have some say over what they want to do, but we'll get there.
Yeah. Little by little. And then as they emerge into adulthood, they get to discern and decide what works for them and what doesn't. And that no longer has anything to do with you. You can be a good sounding board, but yeah. So that's a story of betrayal where here you are emerging better.
Yeah. It's just, I don't like for anybody to have to go through that journey. Absolutely not. It's so painful, especially when you love somebody blindly, you know, it hurts, but it's, way better to be out of it than to be swimming inside of it and not acknowledging it.
Yeah. Well, I want to give a special shout out to Carrie Doubts because it sounds like she was your, rock star support, and she's one of our senior coaches and just fabulous at what she does. And so thank you for acknowledging her. And I'm so glad that you found the podcast and that you reached out for support, and that most importantly, you're better and you're a stand for your children to be healthier. So kudos.
Thank you, Karen. Absolutely.
And thank you so much for coming on and sharing a little piece of your journey and a bit of your story with us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And we'll be back again real soon with another episode of Voices of Celebration. Until then, you take care. Of course, your friends and loved ones deeply care about you. But if you're honest, while they mean well, when it comes to your divorce, they just don't get it. And sometimes you leave those conversations feeling even more isolated. If you're lonely and craving connection and support, check out our High Conflict Divorce Support Group, where an intimate group of 12 people gather from the comfort of their homes to hear, see, and encourage each other, while our JBD team of coaches provide emotional support and practical guidance. There's no reason to take this journey alone. If you've been yearning for support, go to journeybeyonddivorce.com/HCDSG and register today. Thanks for joining us on the Journey Beyond Divorce podcast. I hope you found guidance and encouragement to help you along your journey. If you like my podcast, please take a minute to subscribe and leave a review on iTunes. You can also visit us at jbddivorcesupport.com, where our team of coaches support both men and women through our one-on-one coaching, group programs, online courses, and free resources. Stay tuned for our next episode, and I'll talk to you soon.